wife, as she said, 2 weeks ago, she was weak and couldn't get around. But something good happened. Who did it? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Who did it? Amen. We bless the Lord for that. It wasn't medicine, it wasn't a man, but it was God. We thank God for that. Amen. We just bless the Lord for all that he's doing. And as I said earlier, we definitely want to keep Brother John Ross' family in prayer. We have an unexpected death, and no one knows what happened or how it happened. They don't even know how long he's been dead, because the last time I communicated with them was the Friday before this Friday, and up from that point, no one heard from him. That's why he went to his apartment. So we want to be mindful to keep him in prayer. Amen. But at least he was coming to church and knew who the Lord was. Amen. We don't know when we're going to die, so we can't control that. But we can't control how we die. Yes. Amen. Because the Bible says when a tree fallen, that's the reason for the lie. Yes. Amen. So we're going to keep them in prayer. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading at this time, which will come from Matthew, the 6th chapter. Amen. We're going to go on a Bible safari today. Amen. We're going to hear a lot of scriptures. And after we read the scriptures, I will give us the topic of our message, the sermon today. Amen. And the Lord was dealing with me more on keeping our spiritual focus.
Amen.
Keeping our spiritual focus. Amen. So just keep that in mind. That's not the exact message. We're going to read Matthew 6, verses 27 through 34. Matthew 6, 27 through 34. And the reason we're going to look for a lot of scriptures is because Jesus said, search the scriptures. Amen. The Bible said, they of Thessalonica were more noble, though they of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. But they did one other thing. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so or not. So it's so important today that we don't just take it at face value, but we need to search the scripture, amen? So we're going to read together verses 27 through 34, if you have your Bible. And for those who do not have it, it is there on the screen. Amen? So do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let's start. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spare. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the sea, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the reading of the word. Lord, we thank you for this house of prayer, this house of worship. Lord, we realize it wasn't by might, Lord, it wasn't by power, but we're here because of your spirit. Lord, so we invite your anointing. Lord, we invite your eye-opening power. Lord, we open, ask you to enlighten our eyes so that we may see. Lord, so that we may understand what the will of the Lord is in our life. Oh God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, give us clarity of speech. Lord, give us clarity of mind so that we can receive your word and hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And Lord, we ask you on this afternoon, speak. Lord, for thy servant here, and for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Amen, you may be seated. Can we say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And let's not just do this as a matter of formality, but let's do it from the sincerity of our heart. Say, speak, Lord. Today, our concern once again is losing our focus spiritually. Amen. Anybody ever used binoculars before? You ever used binoculars? Every time you use binoculars, when you look at something, when the distance changes, you have to change the focus. Right? So you can't look at everything the same, but as things change, you have to change the focus. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and time where people are trying to see God through the same focus at the same distance. But life is changing. Things are changing. So we must keep our focus. When things are not in focus, we can't see them as they are abstractly, or just see the blur of vision of what they are, but we should have to see them clearly. So the message today is, are you losing your spiritual focus? Are you losing your spiritual focus? So Matthew in writing says, which of you by taking thought can add? This thought means stop worrying about what God has to do. Amen. So which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? And let's just skip down for the sake of time, because we do have several scriptures to go to. Let's go to verse 32. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles see. But you don't have to worry about anything because he didn't just say he's your father, he's your supreme father.
Yes.
Amen. He cares more about you than anything.
Yes.
So God has your back, no matter how bad it is. For your heavenly Father, knowing that you have need of all these things. Who knows? Your heavenly Father knows. But the devil is still the devil. The devil wants us to worry. The devil wants us to focus on things that we cannot even change. Amen. But we read a little earlier, Jesus said in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more? But the problem is, little faith has got to be pretty bad, because Jesus said all we have to have is the faith as a grain of mustard. The mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds. Now, this is what faith is. Get this. Faith is it. You plant a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows to be the greatest. So all we have to do is plant the seed. Amen. Now when you plant a seed, let me ask you a question. Do you plant a seed? Do you go back every day checking that seed? Right? Some people might do this, but if you do this, it won't grow. You plant a seed, you go dig it up to see it growing. Right? We plant a seed, then we gotta go see if it's growing. Right? Some of us, we got microscopes and all that other scientific equipment. We might want to examine it. Then we put it back in the ground. Then we don't see anything in a couple of weeks, so we go dig it up again to make sure it's growing. That is not the faith that we have to plant. Amen. So if we have faith as a grain, it's not a great, but a grain of mustard seed. You plant and then let God do what God does.
Yes.
And the Bible says if you leave that seed in God's hand and you stop, look at somebody and say, stop worrying about it. Come on, look at somebody and say, stop worrying about it. If you leave it in God's hand and stop worrying about it, it will grow into a greater seed. Amen. But then verse 33 says, but seek ye
first.
Seek ye
first.
The kingdom of
God
and his
righteousness.
And he said, and if you do that first, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The devil says, seek ye the other thing, and then you seek God. Right? And this is how we lose our spiritual focus. Because our focus is more on the other things first. How many know God has order?
Yes.
God has order. So he says, the order is seek ye first the kingdom of God and just be right with God. If nobody else don't understand, I want to be right with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, and all. But the devil knows this scripture. So he said, wait a minute. If I don't give them some problems along the way, if I don't give them a test, they're going to be out of control. So I got to get them to reverse the order. I got to get them to focus on seeking all these other things, and then we may in time seek God. And then we wonder, how did I lose my spiritual focus? Because our lives are out of order. And we're not following what God has prescribed. Amen. So we wonder, what happened? Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Losing our spiritual focus. Seeking the wrong things first. When the scripture lets us know that we ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have time to go through every scripture, but we will touch on, how many want a blessing? Impossible to get a blessing from God doing it your way. Someone says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the but his deed. What overwhelms me? What gives me the greatest pleasures? What gives me the greatest joy? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he. It's on my mind. I heard somebody say, I got Jesus on my mind. So in his law does he meditate. How often? Day and day. That means continually. I've got his word on my mind. Right? Because I want to be blessed. Does the devil know this? Yes. So you know what he does? He gives you obstacles. He gives us challenges. Because the challenges are designed to take our minds off of the word. And instead of meditating on the word, we meditate on everything else. Y'all with me?
Yes.
So we are meditating on everything else, but we're trying to get blessed. God said, I will bless you if your mind is staying on me.
Yes.
But the devil said, if I let my self God, they're going to be out of control. I won't be able to manipulate them, so I got to change their focus to everything else first. And then I'm going to pat them on the back and say, you had God in wrong, brothers and sisters. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if we meditate on this all day and night, we shall be like a tree that's planted by the Lord. Yes, Lord, I just want to be there. In drought, God will still bless me. In hard times, God will still bless me. Why? Because I'm by the rivers of water, and I'm going to produce my fruit in my season. But when I lose my focus, I forget God and his word, and I focus on everything else. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and shall. Listen, when you're doing it God's way, you don't have to worry about a thing.
Yes.
God, he said, and he's dealing with, this chapter deals with being obedient to God and being disobedient. He said, now if you're obedient to God, these blessings are going to come upon thee. Not only are they going to come upon thee, they're going to. They're going to overtake you. Amen. Out of nowhere, God's going to just start doing stuff because the blessings. Amen. So he said, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But verse 18 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So the devil gets us caught up in the in-betweens. Many voices. But which voice is God? Many voices are speaking. Many voices are trying to direct us. But which voice is God? How can you know God's voice if you don't know God's word? How can God order your steps when you don't know God's word? When the scripture plainly says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord orders our steps through his word. So when you're going through a hard time, the devil will say, go pick up one of those magazines and find some encouragement, somebody that's going through the same thing that you're going through. And in the back of your mind, God is saying, no, I want you to speak to me.
Yes.
I want you to read the word. Don't listen to anybody else. God said, I want you to listen to me. How many times have we neglected God's word, going to people that can't do anything, when all of our blessings should come from God? And then when our situation gets worse and worse and worse, we ask God, where are you? God says, I was there all the time. But you couldn't see me because your spiritual focus was off. God said, I was standing right there. Not only was your spiritual focus off, but your spiritual hearing was off. Because you were doing things, God said, I told you no, but you did it anyway. Well, how did I go opposite of God and do it anyway? Because my focus was off. Right? Now, I'm going to give you a list of five things that we're going to go through. As I said, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. Amen. Y'all might go through scriptures, are you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go through a lot of scriptures so we can just do what's right before God.
Amen.
I'm going to give you. There are a whole lot of things that cause us to lose our spiritual focus. But for today, we're going to focus on five things. And these five will pretty much include everything else. Losing our spiritual focus. Number one thing that makes us lose our focus is money. Money is the number one thing that makes us lose our focus. Then after money, the number two thing that makes us lose our focus is pride. Number three, friendships. Number four, the desire to be important, to have power, to have influence. And number five, the right of entitlement. You owe that to me, God. Those five things are the things that cause us to lose our focus. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now don't get quiet. Amen. But we're trying to keep our spiritual focus. What has made me lose my focus? Money is number one. We do unwise things and make unwise decisions when it comes to our finances. Amen. Listen, if you only make, I'm an elevator. If you only make $1,000 a week, amen, don't get bills to add up to $6,000 a month.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
You make $1,000 a week. Most months have how many weeks?
Four.
Come on, y'all. Don't tell me that. Right? So, if most months have 4 weeks and I make $1,000 a week, I make how much in a month?
$4,000.
But if I spend
$6,000,
then I spend beyond my
means.
My means. And then I say, well, God, where are you? God gives us wisdom. And in wisdom, we have a sound mind to make the right decision. So I'd rather be far below until God blesses me to move to the next level than to be far above and then worry myself to death how I'm going to do it. So if I make $1,000, first thing I do is take care of God and give him his 10%. Right? Because seek ye
first
unto the Lord with thy substance,
yes,
and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Y'all with me?
Yes.
I told you we're going to do a lot of scriptures.
So
you're supposed to honor the Lord. So the first thing I do with my $1,000, I need to give God $100 because that's 10%. So that leaves me 900 to spend. spent times four is $3,600. Right? So with that $3,600, God said, then you took care of me. Then you can do what you want to do with that. But I'm not going to spend $3,600 because how many of them emergencies that come up?
Thank you.
We're trying to bring ourselves back into spiritual focus. Stop losing your focus. The devil is making us focus on everything else but God. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with
wise men
shall be
wise."
If you walk with godly friend, you will be
godly.
If you walk with ungodly friends, you will be
ungodly.
If you walk with saved friends, you will be
saved.
If you walk with unsaved friends, you will be
unsaved.
Because your environment is created by what you are. Don't let your heart guide you. Let your heart be your God. You got to guide it. things wrong. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Amen. And the Bible says, if a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he. But how many know that God knows? And God can do anything. But pride will bring you down. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 18, all y'all read this already, two or three times. Because we read one book of Proverbs every day of the month. And we're on the third month, so this is the third time we're going through. But Proverbs 16, 18 said, a haughty spirit goes before a fall, and pride goes before destruction. Somebody said, why is my life falling apart? What is your pride? Because pride elevates. I'm illustration. Pride elevates. Right? So I'm looking at you. I'm better than you. I ain't got time to be around you. I'm better than that. Lucifer was an archangel. Lucifer was in heaven. Lucifer protected the way to God. But all of a sudden, Lucifer, in Isaiah 14, got lifted up in pride. Lucifer said, you know what? I'm going to go above. I'm about to set my throne above the throne of God. He said, I'm going to lift myself up. God said, no, you're not. You're about to. You're about to go down. Cause pride. Can I just be lonely for a minute? You can't tell me? No, I can't. I'm going to be, oh, you can't tell me nothing. All the ladies think I'm picking on y'all. You can't tell me nothing. I know this, I know that. You, I know. Pride.
Pride.
Going up. God said, you going up? I'm about to bring you. Jesus said, I'll be held sinless like fall. That's spiritual there. How Jesus go sinless like and fall from heaven if he wasn't created to make Mary Adam? That's not right.
Glory to God.
Only death of the rich. But we ain't gonna mess with that. We're gonna stay where we are. All right? Pride. Number four is desire for power. Desire to be somebody. Desire to be in positions. I like David. David's not just gonna be a doorkeeper.
Yes.
In the house of the Lord. God, if I don't do nothing. And God knows this is what my desire, even when they try to get me to be pastor, I say, I don't want to be pastor. If I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, either that'll be good enough for me. But the desire for power and position, now, I think it's in Timothy, the first Timothy, third chapter, said, he that desired the office of bishop, desire it? Well, let's go there. Let's read this. Well, we want to keep our focus. Do you want to keep your focus?
Yes.
All right, look at the verse next to y'all. Let's talk to each other, right? This is a good church. We have a good church. Look at the verse there. Do you want to keep your focus?
Do you
want to
keep your focus?
You can't keep your focus outside of God. You got to keep your focus
in God.
So do you want to keep your focus? All right, let's go to 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Amen. We're just trying. We want to get through all of this, but we get as far as we possibly can. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. Not 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 1. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a. There's nothing wrong with that desire. He desires a good work. But don't let the position mess you up. Right? Because there are steps you got to take to get to that position. But for the sake of time, let's get down to verse 5. It says, for if a man knoweth not how to rule, I want to rule. I want to do something in church. I want to be somebody in church. Huh. If you can't rule, your whole house is out of order. But you can't take care of God's house before you take care of 7 said this looks so good. I want that position because I know God can use me. Let's go to verse 7.
Glory to God.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Moreover, he must have a
good report.
A what?
Good report.
You gotta have a good reputation. A good report on the
outside
before you can do anything on the
inside.
I'm talking about keeping my focus.
Yes.
The world, people dealing with you in the world said, man, what kind of church you go to? The way you act. But I want to be a position person. Before you worry about anything else, what is your reputation on the outside? What do people think about you? Right? You want enough, the position is truly a good work. But you can't do the work till you get yourself together first. Amen. So I said, must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into
reproach
and the
snare of the devil.
So what happened? You went too far, too fast. You weren't ready for that, but you put yourself there. God did not. Jeremiah said, all these people were being pastors, they running. God said, I didn't send them. Jeremiah chapter 23 says, stop running. God's like, then you get in a mess and you don't mess up. Well, what happened? You lost your focus. And God can't help you when you lose your focus. And even worse yet, let's go to verse 6 of the same chapter. It says you can't be newly saved and don't know how to handle God's business. Not a novice. Well, I know a lot about God. God said, you might know a lot about me, but you don't know me like you ought to know me. So you need to get some grass, growing in your feet before you want this power. Before you want this position. Before you want to be super you, you got to get yourself together. Can y'all say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Well, I ain't going to go a whole lot further. Let's go. Number 5 is the right of entitlement. I've been in the church. They ain't did nothing for me. I'm from Nassau. Can I just use my own speech? Y'all use my speech. I ain't going to go. So I'm going to go down home. I'm going to go what I'm used to. Right, brother? This is from Nassau. Yeah, y'all want to identify me. Yeah, whatever. I'm going down south. Church ain't did nothing for me. I've been paying my tithe, been paying my offering. They all done that. Watch that right of entitlement. Because the right of entitlement says, I've done all this, then what are you going to do for me? I deserve for you to do something. And they don't do it, and the more they don't do it, the more you get messed up. The more you can't see God, and then you begin to stew and steam, and then you get a root of bitterness. Why did you get the bitterness? Because they didn't do nothing for me and they didn't do this. Everything that happened to me that was good. Church. So I can't find it in New York, so whisperer got a whole lot of different names. One says a whisperer. The Bible says 16 gods hate the seventh abomination. He just so what? A whisperer caused trouble in church. And you know that? Whisperer. Because the Bible said whisperer will separate even the closest of friends.
Amen.
Entitlement.
What you gonna do for me?
Yeah, I'm serious. In church.
In the church, I said, I'll go to church one right anyway.
When is the last time you really read the Bible and know what the scripture says?
Yeah.
Right? When the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord through his word. You know, Jesus even said that. He said, search the scriptures. For in them you have eternal life.
Yes.
He said, in the scripture, what testify about. Somebody said, I don't know Jesus. You don't know your scriptures.
Amen.
Because when you read it, when you study to show yourself a workman unto God. Amen. I'm working. How do you work studying the scripture? I want to know God for myself.
Yes.
A workman that needeth not to be. I'm not ashamed when I have to do anything with the word of God, because I study to show myself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And most of all, because I study, I can write things. Now I can read a piece of paper that I ain't studying. I can read 50 chapters a day and don't remember nothing I read. I didn't study. So you need to put it down on the inside, because when I hide his word in my
heart,
I won't sin again. You know what I'm talking about? I said we're going to use scriptures. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God's word said. Then we do all that we want to do. Man, what's wrong with the church? You look through a glass dimly.
Yes.
Yeah, they agree with the scripture saying you can look through a glass dimly, but when you look face to face, when you look in the real mirror, that's the problem.
Amen.
When you look in the face to face, when you stop getting all, you know how you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you say, wow, I look good. Till your eyes really clear up. Whoa. Grab a towel, here's a towel, cover up. Because you weren't seeing clearly, you had your focus off. It's time to get back in focus. It's time to get back on God's side. Those five things will destroy you. Those five things will separate between you and your God. Now, I'm going to go to another scripture. I got a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. I believe we are closing Isaiah chapter 59. It is so important. We're starting Isaiah 59 and verse 1. It's so important that we keep our focus. But in order to keep our focus, we have to keep our eyes on God.
Yes.
It's impossible for you to see God doing what you want to the way that you want to do it. Can we say praise the Lord? So if you want to keep your focus, you have to keep everything zoned in. Keep it zoned into God. Then as you keep it zoned into God, God can help you. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
For those that say, all I've done for God and God ain't done nothing for me. You English teachers can correct me later. All I've done is go to the church. And the church ain't done. You ain't good for the church, because the church is also God. So get it right. When you think that everything you're doing it for the church, you've lost your focus. Because the church is in the stead of God. The church is in the stead of God. Said, because I want my order to be of such. Jesus is your perfect example. Jesus is your perfect example, God said, I cannot come down in the spirit for you to follow, because I am perfection at his grace. So God said, the only way you can learn
answer the phone is you gotta have somebody that has the same qualifications as Jesus. And Jesus was made out of flesh and blood. So I'm gonna put flesh and blood for you to follow. But when you lose your focus, you're not following anything because all you find is Paul. But Isaiah 59 and 1 reads, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not that he cannot
save.
That saving God can still deliver. Whatever you're in, whatever you're going through, God can still deliver because his arm is not too short that he cannot save." So the problem is not God. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Your iniquities are separated.
And your sin, God said, your sin, now this is what God does. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I think today is an illustrative service. Y'all like illustrative? Right, so all y'all in my face, right? But if you sin, God turns it back. Right? Well, why did you turn it back? Because of your sin. So you gotta see the bad and not. So God said, I can't deliver you because I can't see you. Because your sins has called me to. Now you're no longer in my face. You're behind my back.
Amen.
Go to the next verse. We all gonna finish. I'm gonna go to one more scripture after this. For your hands. God said, I can't help you. Because everything is about you. Your hands. Hey, one thing I was saying about the God thing, that man killed the truth.
Amen.
I went to a church to preach one time, and the guy said, preach what's on your heart. I said, nah, that ain't a good idea. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. He said, no, pastor, preach what's on your heart. I said, nah, I don't think so. I said, no, I ain't preach what's on my heart, because I know what's on my heart ain't going to fit where I'm at. He said, no, pastor, I want you to preach what's on your heart. I said, nah, I ain't going to do that. Y'all with me? Come on, y'all. So I got on the story. And every time I tried to go one way, God kept bringing me back to that. I said, Lord, I'm not in the right place for that. I can't preach that in this church. So I go another way, and the Lord brought me back. I said, you know what? I can't keep fighting God. How many of you can't win when you fight God? So he said, I said, well, Pastor told me to preach. I said, so I'm going to do what you said. He said, yes, sir. When I finish, you want some help? So when he got up behind me, he couldn't say I was wrong because I was right. But he couldn't say I was right because then the people would follow me. So all I think the pastor, he said, all I can say is that man knows the word. Right, so that's my thing. You're going to find out that God. We're going to preach God's word.
Yeah.
He never invited me back. So I guess I must have messed up, right? Well, he said, preach the word.
Yes.
Right? So I had to preach.
Word.
Yeah, we're gonna finish Galatians. This is the last chapter, last verse, Galatians chapter 1. Because I had to do what was right in the eyes of God.
Amen.
My pastor said, he couldn't say he was right, he couldn't say I was wrong. He said, man, if I say I'm right, all my people are gonna think I've been teaching a false doctrine. Right? He said, if I say wrong, I'll be fighting God because I know he was right. So he stood there for a while. He said, that man knows the word of God. So I don't know what that meant. But then we left. But nevertheless, all right, let's go to Galatians. I don't know everything. But what I do know, I will share. Because we're living in a dangerous time. Paul said these are perilous times. Men's hearts are filling them for fear. All right, so now we're talking about, we're going to go to verse 6, we're talking about losing our what?
Focus.
Paul told them a little later in Galatians chapter 5, he said he did run well. When you first got saved, man, you was on fire, you were doing everything. Paul said you started off right, he said, but now what's hindering you? Spiritual focus is off. Amen. Well, what goes on spiritual focus off? Paul said, I'm all. That you are so soon removed from him. They called you into grace of Christ unto. I'm losing my focus because I won't stay in the gospel. I did not stay in the truth. I did not stay in the word. Those that don't stay in the truth, hallelujah, I messed up because only the truth can make you free. Somebody said, I'm bound. Where are you following?
Amen.
I'm going to talk about the gospel.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, which is not another, but there are some that.
Right.
Those are the people. Right? Those are the people. They get in their little group and whisper. They're troubling. You know the truth. Why are you going? Because there are some that trouble you. Even though you know what's right to do, that voice is taking you away from God. Some kind of voice is your voice.
Amen.
There are some, he says, that trouble you. Which what? You can't change God's word.
Amen.
God's word is fixed. God's word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
So I'm just going to stay in the word because I don't want to receive God's wrath by trying to alter his word.
Amen.
I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to embellish it. I'm going to let God be true and let every man hear. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Listen, man, that's a hard service, but you need to get back on focus.
Amen.
You know, you used to come to church and act like you're serving God and you don't follow God. If I love my wife, right, me and my wife are together, and I don't ever do nothing for my wife. If I don't ever do nothing for my wife said, let's go get some. Nah, I'm not going over there. She said, let's go get
This is for church.
Yeah, I remember this. Like, if she said that's going, if I don't ever go with her, how can I say I love her when I don't ever go with her? Right? So there's a lot of things I don't like doing. Like driving to New Jersey late Friday. But I do it because I want to follow her because I
love her.
Right? How in the world can you love God if you can't?
Illustrated
verse. Right? So Paul says, you have one spiritual father. He said you can have 10,000 instructors, but you are to follow your
spiritual father.
You understand?
Yes.
So there's a lot of people teaching them. Yes, he said, Paul didn't say 100,000 in there. 10,000 teaching. But your accountability, who you have to follow, is your
spiritual father.
No charge.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, for now do I persuade? Important question. And trying to please. Who are you trying to persuade? Are you trying to persuade? Or are you trying to persuade? Serious question. Who are you trying to please? Paul said, you started well. You were doing the right thing. You will follow the truth. You will follow the gospel. Then all these people troubled you, and then they talked to you. Said, who are you trying to please? Minister Simon said, who's on the Lord's side? This is my friend. I'm going to stand for my friend. Who's on the Lord? Are you going to stand for your friend as in opposition to God? Or stand for your friend as they stand for God? Because he that is with wise men will be so you become a part of your environment. You cannot surround yourself with unsaved, ungodly people, and then you're going to be saved. But Jesus said, they're going in the world, but they ain't out of the world. He said, I did not come to take you out of the world. I'm glad I came to keep you from all the evil that's in the world. So stop being so narrow-minded. I didn't tell you to leave the world. He said, but I told you to separate from the world. I didn't tell you to leave it. Because I'm going to keep you in the world because I am a keeper. I don't know about that. You go to church? I don't know. I feel like money. That's all God has done for you.
Amen.
The psalmist said, I'm going to stop. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for? Yes, God, he said, then I'm not. Jesus said, you got to love me with
all
your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your might. That's how you got to love me. If you give me 50%, God said you don't love me. If you give me 60%, you say you don't love me. God said, I want
all.
So if you're pleasing anybody,
glory to God.
And not God, I did not see.